Welcome to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast, the show that offers you tips and strategies to help speakers build the business of their dreams. Now, here's your host, 30-year industry veteran and business coach, Jane Atkinson.
Well, welcome everyone to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. You know, many people start their journey into speaking by doing what we call the rubber chicken circuit. That's getting out there and speaking to anyone who will listen at no charge. The reward? Well, hopefully you're getting lunch and it's no longer rubber chicken like the hotels used to serve back in the day. And hopefully that freebie is leading to paid engagements. That's the goal. But we want to come at it from a different perspective today. And our special guest, Scott Love, is going to help us. Welcome, Scott.
Thank you, Jane. I'm excited to be here.
Now, tell everybody about, you have been a client of mine in the past as you have come in and out of the speaking industry. Tell everybody what you're up to today in your current business model.
You bet. So I had a training business I sold, and I'll talk about that in a little bit, about 5 years ago, just so I could focus on one thing, which was partner level recruiting for law firms. Mm. I recruit partners for the top global firms in the world. Sometimes if I get lucky, I'll do a merger, which is great. And that's what I do. I talk to sophisticated, guarded, untrusting people that have a fear of change and hate recruiters, and I get them to trust me. And I work closely with law firm chairmen to help them realize their strategy goals by recruiting their competition's best talent.
Okay. So you were doing traditional training and speaking, and you chose to step back from that in order to focus on this. Talk a little bit about why you chose to make that decision.
You bet. And I got into training right after 9/11, right? Mm-hmm. And I remember my very first NSA meeting. I was living in Arizona. It was January 2002. And I was ready to go. And I remember that wasn't a very good time. I mean, it was just a hard time for our nation, for the world, and for people in speaking. And that's when I started kind of really looking at that. I would speak when I had a recruiting company to trade associations for free, and I would get calls from people that were in the audience. So I kind of tucked that away and kept that in mind. But long story short, I started a training company in 2003, which became one of the top ranked brands for the recruiting and staffing industry. So I would do up to as many as 50 paid speeches a year. Most of those were holiday and basement gigs where, you know, you're getting a fee, but you know, you're flying coach. And it wasn't really a lot of this, the wowza that people that you deal with get. And I made a good living with it, but really it morphed into a consulting and a coaching business where I could speak and I had a good brand, and we had probably about 4,600 staffing and recruiting companies from over 36 countries invest in my tapes when I started, DVDs, and then, you know, you work your way up to VHS and then online training and consulting. And I wasn't getting the income that I wanted to. And for me to get the income, this was when you and I were talking long ago, I knew I had to make a choice. Mm-hmm. I need to go all the way in. Was I willing to travel? Not really. So you ameliorate that deficit by moving to Las Vegas, where there were at the time 40,000 meetings a year. And we actually looked at some places, Jane. We actually looked at some houses there. Did you know that they have schools in Las Vegas? They even have churches. They have churches. We saw both of them, you know? And so it just wasn't the place we wanted to live. So I knew I had to do something. And I decided, and the concept I looked at was that if you want to do anything, if you want to be number one in the world in anything, a lot of the work is going to be a grind. And if you look at the grind of what it takes to be a speaker, I wasn't willing to do that, be on the road and all the other work that it takes. But I looked at my recruiting practice because I was doing legal recruiting at that time also. I was doing two unrelated businesses with no nexus. So it was like riding two different surfboards at the same time. And you don't get very far doing that. And I looked at the grind of recruiting, and I loved the grind. So for me, it was basically, what business do I love the grind with the most? I love to speak. Who doesn't? But I found that within this recruiting practice, I still get to speak enough to scratch the itch. And it gets me the results that I want within my search practice.
Right, right. And we're going to talk a little bit about how you do freebies in order to really work the back end, which I think is important for people to realize that there is not one way to do any business.
Right.
You can map it out based on what's perfect for you. It wasn't Vegas. It was East Coast, and it was recruiting. So you mentioned, though, that there were certain principles that you have used in making strategic decisions about your business. Let's talk about those first,
right,
and then we'll get to the freebies.
Absolutely. And one of them was, when I looked at why I wanted to speak, was it because I had a vision? Was it because it was a calling, like it is a lot of people to do it? And no, it wasn't. It was because economically I like it and I feel good when I do it. So for me, it just wasn't enough. And so I realized, like I said before, no matter what you do in the world, if you want to do it and be one, number one in the world, it's going to be a grind. So I had to realize, and I looked at the two different options I had, which grind do I love the most? When you look at the work of doing speaking, how many hours a year is that? Well, if you're speaking 100 times a year, it's 100 hours of the work you get to do, but everything else, I didn't like that. It just wasn't for me. So I looked at the work of recruiting. No matter what you do, if you want to be number one in the world, it's going to be a grind. Find the grind that you love. That was one concept I looked at. The other one was, I know some people say, do what you love and the money will follow. The concept I chose was follow the money so you can do what you love. For me, it was also economics. I had certain income goals I wanted to hit. And different things for me to hit those income goals, that professional speakers that you coach, where they're doing the high dollar keynotes, I just wasn't willing to commit those resources to that. And I had to be realistic with that. If you want to be number one in the world, you got to commit the resources. Do you have the resources? I could, but that just wasn't what I wanted to do. And the other one was find something that you absolutely love that people will pay handsomely for and provide a solution. And that's what I realized just in my world of business. I was really good at getting the trust of chairman of large global law firm. I was really good getting these partners to trust me. And so from that, I've been able to kind of parlay my speaking expertise into a business development tool that we can talk about.
Okay, very nice. Now, I remember my brother passed away when he was 53 years old, not to bring us down here, but he had a job in Canmore, Alberta. And for those of you who have not been to Canmore, Alberta, it's a little town nestled in the mountains. And I think at the time it had one stoplight. And my brother was a commercial painter, so he'd go paint buildings and residences and things like that. And he would always talk to me about the grind of his business. And I would say, Cliff, you live in the middle of the mountains. And, you know, I think just staring at the wall to him was a grind. But I would like to throw it out there that grind is completely subjective.
Right.
And that if you are putting out great value into the world and that you're doing it consistently, I think this is what you actually mean by that. Mm-hmm. Is that when you choose to do something, that you do it on a consistent basis. We do a podcast every week. We do a blog every week. And it's because we do it consistently. I think that's why we're able to get traction. So I just wanted to throw that out there because the word grind is a bit of a trigger for me. because my brother ended up passing away at 53 years old. And I think it was really his thoughts that, you know, he was always living for what was out there, not
right,
what was right in his own backyard. And he started to live his dream, which was ultimately when he passed away.
And what I mean by that, just to clarify, sure, is it is the work. The
yes,
work that it takes to get to where you want to go.
Yeah.
Do you, have you identified what that is? And are you willing to do that work to get there?
Yes. Yes. I get it. Okay. So we talk about raising your speaking fees over time. And so let's talk about if you drop the fee altogether and speak for free, what would be your premise around that?
That's right. And that's a good question. And the way you look at anything is that you become a big deal when enough people say you're a big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at speaking, of course, you walk into a meeting, you're the one that the trade association that hired you chose to be the expert on that topic. By default, you automatically earn credibility by walking in. Mm-hmm. And if you're selling speeches to sell a speech, that's good. But if you have a business or some sort of other offering that you can parlay onto that, where now, what's next? And what I saw was as I backed off my traditional speaking business, I saw my own niche of legal. I have a very narrow niche. It's the legal profession. Mm-hmm. And I resurrected my podcast during the crisis. I've been podcasting since 2009, Jane, back when people would listen to podcasts on iPods. I mean, that's how old it was. And a lot of my training business came through that podcast. So I pivoted it to rainmaking. It's called the Rainmaking Podcast, and it's all on client development because my target niche of partners, they don't care about making a move until they're ready to move, but they care about getting new clients every day. So I resurrected that podcast and I started marketing it to people in the Legal Marketing Association. I would do Zoom calls with different chapters. And I saw that these were people with big firms that I want to get to know. And I knew that as you speak in front of the audience, they're all talking about you to their colleagues back at work. One right before the crisis, I actually got to be a master of ceremonies for a women in legal conference. It was probably about 150 to 200, mostly female attorneys in California. Mm-hmm. And I was the master of ceremonies all day. And I realized, wow, this is huge. I'm being seen as a big deal when I'm just kind of goofy and I tell clean jokes that make people laugh and I can keep people engaged in between the quiet moments on the mic, on the stage. But that's a skill that I can parlay into building visibility. And I was able to make a lot of good contacts from that. So the point is that you become a big deal when enough people say that you're a big deal. And this is another bonus, Jane, that if anybody's listening to this, you've probably given a few speeches. You're probably 10 times better than all your competition that haven't even thought about this. So by default, just because you're good, they assume that you're going to be good at your offering, whether you're a management consultant or sales training consultant or something else. When you've got that professional services practice or business, by default, you're going to be considered better because they saw you on the stage.
So people out there who might have an accounting firm or architecture firm or law firm, and they want to get out and speak in order to promote their business, in order to create a back end. Mm-hmm. Let's think about that from the professional speaker standpoint. People who are already in the business, there are going to be times when you're going to speak for free just because the audience is full of decision makers. I mean, that's right. Something that I don't think anybody could argue with. Tell us a little bit about a time when you did a freebie that it turned out to be something really positive for you on the back end.
I think a lot of what I did when I had my training business was getting in front of a group. And if you think about inflection points, and I know you talk about that, what do you call that? Like
flash
moments,
points.
Flashpoint. Yes. And so there might be a flashpoint in your business, and it can just be one conversation that you happen to have with the CEO that saw you speak at a conference that can open up consulting opportunity to you. That happened to me all the time in my old business. It was so funny because I dropped it and got into my recruiting business. I didn't even think, oh, now I can take my speaking skills and use that as a vehicle to market. I didn't even think about that until I kind of figured it out by accident that, oh, I'm a master of ceremonies on a stage. Oh, and wow, look at all these people that see me here. I got to do something with this. And so I think that one episode itself gave me all these introductions to people that I could then reach out to and say, I'd like to have you as a guest on my podcast. Mm-hmm. I was able to, because I then had credibility, I was able to reach out to the president of the Legal Marketing Association of North America, and she's on my show. And guess who's on my list of people to reach out to in the coming weeks to follow up on that? Because now I've got history. We've worked together on a project. We've got a track record.
Right.
So I think if you look at the whole concept of building a brand is one opportunity can lead to something else. That's going to be encouraging if you're just saying, oh gosh, I can't get speaking fees. Find ways to leverage each aspect of what you do.
Right.
If you're not going to get a fee, what can you get out of that? Negotiate for increased visibility in the program. Ask for each member of your conference to get your one sheet in their conference bag. That doesn't cost them anything. It's just paper. So as much as you can use to leverage that to maximize the visibility, that's my recommendation.
We just had Barry Banther, who is the chair of the National Speakers Association, on the show. And he talked about going into one audience early on in his business. And, you know, they were exactly the right group of people for him. And he told them a story with a beginning and a middle and an end, but there was just like a little piece that he kind of didn't tell them. And a lot of people came up to him afterwards and said, I want you to come and not only share that rest of that story with me, but I want you to come and do that for us.
That's great.
And so he would translate, you know, one audience into six different large consulting contracts or something like that.
That's
and
fantastic.
I think that we have to really look at, not be short-sighted to step over, what is it, that term, step over quarters to pick up nickels or something like
right.
that. We have to be careful that we want to really get ourselves into the audiences. I want to say there are groups like MPI, MDRT, right. that's Meeting Professionals International, Million Dollar Roundtable, you know, the General Agents and Managers Association, the National Real Estate Association. There's a lot of groups out there who are perfect to get in front of in order to create a ton of spinoff.
Absolutely right. And I think it's getting real clear, like what you talked to people about, what you helped me with years ago, determining what's your lane, who is your prospect, and who are those people that can advocate for you that might get you introduced. It's one thing to cold call, but it's something else to say, I just got off the phone with John Smith, CEO of XYZ Corporation. He's on your board, and he suggested I reach out to you to throw my name in the hat for your conference because he saw me speak 6 months ago.
Right.
And in fact, he said he's going to email you later today. Oh, come on over. Can I get you some orange juice? Have a seat. What can we do for you? Instead of my name's speaker number 57 today, and you've never heard of me before.
Yeah.
So I think that's how people need to look at that is maybe I can get a little bit more visibility and maybe I can build some introductions that way. But getting clear on the lane, that's something I'd recommend people do. Just who is it that you want to get in front of? What's your value? And how are they going to hear about you?
Beautiful, beautiful. So I appreciate you being on the show today to talk about how to really leverage those free engagements. You've given us lots of great ideas. What's one final thing that you would like to share with our audience?
I would say ask for referrals. Anytime you get any sort of relationship with someone, let's say you're a guest on a podcast, ask the podcast host, who are some other podcast hosts you think this might be valuable? And it's always easier to open up doors that way. That's one thing I'd recommend is, and sometimes you got to ask the referrals at the right time. Just because you talk to somebody once doesn't mean you've earned enough of rapport with them to make a withdrawal from that bank account.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing I'd recommend people keep top of mind. Anytime they do anything, who is somebody else that you think I can benefit by who does a similar type job to you?
Yeah, and I love that. And I love the idea you said earlier about having prospects on your podcast. Now with Clubhouse has opened it up so that we can invite anybody to do a room with us on Clubhouse. And so if you have people that you don't know, I've already met a ton of people being panelists side by side with them that I didn't know, who I just said, hey, do you want to do a Clubhouse together? We're talking about this topic. Sure. People, the barriers of entry to having people on your podcast, to having people, that is a beautiful way to get introduced to people. And of course, Clubhouse makes that like everybody has a podcast kind of thing.
Right. So that's great.
I think that there's a lot of ways for us to start to really build relationships and really relationships. That's why you're so good at your job in the legal profession of helping people find the superstars is because of relationships.
Right. Yeah, that's right. And I think people can sense that. And I appreciate that, Jane. That means a lot hearing that from you.
Well, I wanted to bring up something that you brought up when you interviewed me on your podcast, which was the very first time that we met. Speaking of relationships.
Oh, that's right.
How about that for a segue? We were sitting at a bar. Way back in the day, I was far less introverted than I am today. But we were sitting at a bar and I just met two men, one on either side of me. One's name was Scott Love. One's name was Kevin Lust. And I'm like, here I am sitting between Love and Lust. We had so much fun with that. And, you know, I think about the relationships that we had. You probably, I don't know if that was your first NSA, but
I think
all
it might have
the way
been.
Back to the very first National Speakers Association conference that I ever attended, I still maintain those relationships today. And here you are on the show talking to me about a particular topic. And I just love that that's what relationships do.
That's right, Jane, because you've got the right heart. I mean, you're a giver. You know, you sprinkle the world with value along the way and people see that.
Oh, thank you. Well, thank you for being on the show today, Scott.
Thank you, Jane.
Very much enjoyed our conversation. And if you have enjoyed it, let us know. Reach out. Leave us a rating, a review. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss anything out into the future. We are actually doing some of these on video. You can see them over at our YouTube channel. If you search Jane Atkinson or Speaker Launcher, you will find that. And with that, we will say, see you soon, wealthy speakers. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast. If you need help building the speaking business of your dreams, head over to WealthySpeakerSchool.com and take advantage of our 20-minute next step call. Thanks for listening to the Wealthy Speaker Podcast.